in God's Word will change our lives, but consistent and effective study can at times be challenging. That's one reason why Joyce is here to help. At joycemeyer.org/Bible study, you'll find ways to make your study time come to life with helpful resources, study suggestions, and encouragement from Joyce. Get the most you can out of your time studying God's Word with Everyday Study. Sign up today at joycemeyer.org/Bible study.
Thanks again for listening today. And to order today's offer, just head to our website or call. Until next time, remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
WCNO's Broadcast Day is underwritten by Krause and Crane Incorporated, celebrating 50 years of air conditioning service to the Martin County area. Since 1957, Krause and Crane certified technicians have serviced all makes and models of air conditioners and provides an energy savings agreement for any commercial or residential need. Krause and Crane, the service and replacement specialist with over 50 years of experience, is available 24 hours for emergency service at 287-1227.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
I got a question for you that live by the righteousness of your performance. When is good ever good enough? And you know, when you live like this, the devil will have a field day with your mind. You pray for an hour. He say, you know, you should have prayed for 2 hours. So next time you pray for 2 hours, he say, you know, 3 would have been nice. You would have got your breakthrough with 3. And you know, you're trying to perform, and you're trying to do, and you're trying to please with your performance. And see, that's been the trick down through the ages. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, the devil said, when you eat of this fruit, so-called fruit, then you will be like God. When a chapter or two before, God said, let us create man in our image, after our likeness. They were already like him. Well, that's a revelation right there that'll set you free. I'm telling you, that'll set you free if you understand the enemy's always trying to get you to do something to be like God when God has already made you like him. If I would just pray a little longer. Yeah, pray. But don't let it be a perfunctory prayer. Don't let it be legalistic prayer. Remember the Pharisee and the publican that went into the temple? The Pharisee was praying his little perfunctory prayers. I thank you, God, that I'm not like, he had it all together. He had his little routine all the time. And then the publican just got down there. He was so bogged down, he just smote himself on the chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me. Jesus said, which one of those left justified? It wasn't the Pharisee. It was the one that was pursuing God's grace. Oh, how important is this? This is still foundation. We got to lay the right foundation. We can never trust a God who we think is against us. God is placing more and more and more and more and more and more and more demands on you all the time. He's not satisfied with you. That's what performance does too. I know early on in ministry, it used to be, you know, a lot used to be on having, you know, getting a word that was going to make people shout. You know, getting something, you know, performing for the people. And then you kind of lived on people saying, man, love that sermon, Pastor. Good word today. You know, it's always appreciated, but, you know, after a while, you don't live off of stuff like that. Because it's not based upon a performance. It's based upon a grace. It's based upon a relationship in obedience to God, because God does things bigger than what we can do. When you're young, you know, you do everything of yourself, of your own strength. Call the young men because they're strong. Call the older men because they know the way. Amen. They know the way. They have wisdom. They know that a lot of things that people are trying to hammer out, you know, let God do that. That's God's assignment. You define your assignment. You define what God gives you, and you do that, and let him take care of the rest. See, some of us need to stop trying to be general manager of the universe. You know, you micromanage everything and everybody. No, you can't do that. Let people grow. Let my people grow. Let them grow into their destiny. Let them grow into their calling. Let them grow into their anointing. What we have to do is set the right environment. And the soil has to be right. The soil has to be good soil. Amen. So that when you put the seed in there, our job is to see that the light shines on the soil. See that water is on the soil. The seed is going to be what it's going to be because the seed is from God. We just have to make the right environment so it'll grow. And then after a while, we see what God is doing there. Because God planted that seed. That's even with our children. I've never spoken to any of my children that say, you're going to be a preacher. Now, God will make them what he wants. If they're going to be a preacher, they'll be a preacher. Whatever God, but we're to create the environment so that God can have his way with them. So they're not intimidated. You know, the sky's the limit. There are no limitations. There are no boundaries. There's nothing blocking them. There's nothing that they say, I'll never do that. No, God will have his way. You'd be amazed at God's plans when you let go of some stuff and let God have his way. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, let go and let God. Okay, I'm going to wind up here in just a minute. Fear leaves when we accept Jesus as our righteousness. I'm talking to saints. I'm not talking to sinners. When we accept Jesus as our righteousness and not our works and our performance as our righteousness. When we accept him in our heart, fear leaves. It's a finished work. He defeated Satan once forever. When that happens, faith comes and fear is gone. Let me get one last verse of scripture in James chapter 4, the book of James chapter 4 and verse 6. The word says, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Now let me explain to some of you again, and if you've heard me teach this anytime, you've always heard me say the same thing. Humility is not stupidity, and meekness is not weakness. Moses, during his time, was the meekest man on the planet, but also the most powerful. He was more powerful than Pharaoh. He took down Pharaoh's whole kingdom, his whole empire, under Moses' command. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Yet we all know he was the most powerful ever. Huh? No question about that, but he was meek and lowly in heart. So we have to understand humility isn't a cast down attitude. You know, you're not humble because you walk around like this. No, you need help. That's that humble. Humble. That's that humble stuff. Neither is humility weakness. You know, sometimes people mistake your humility for stupidity, or your meekness for weakness, or your kindness for blindness. You know, all different little. They do. I get that a lot. People think that I'm sometimes a weak person until they're around me a little while, and they go to acting up. I might be patient, but I'm not. And nothing weak about me. Because I rely upon his grace. I rely upon the Holy Spirit, the dunamis. Amen? So humility is the place. Now, mark this down because we're going to wind this up. Humility is the place where you submit your will, your view, and your plan to the will, the view, and the plan of God. Humility is the place where you submit your will, your view, and your plan to God's will and plan and view. That's the place of humility. For us to experience his grace, he giveth more grace. Our view and our opinion must come into harmony with God's view and opinion. And let me tell you something. As I said earlier, in your most difficult times, God is not saying, oh no, what are we going to do? God is saying, like he said to Gideon, when Gideon was hiding and trying to make a loaf of bread, hiding from the enemy that had compassed him about, the Midianites. When the angel came to him, the first thing he said is, thou mighty man of valor. And like you and I, Gideon would say, who you? Me? You talking to me? Right in the midst of all that commotion, all that oppression, the angel spoke the reality. And see, when you can connect your faith in that situation where God is saying something, when your emotions are rattled and your mind is confused and stuff is coming against you, but God is saying, thou mighty man, you are more than a conqueror. When you can connect your faith to that, guess what? The reality of God is going to show up. Come on. With Gideon, that angel initiated God's plan, God's view, God's opinion, even though it was different than Gideon's. But then the process started for God to bring him. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. He began to walk Gideon through that process, and Gideon needed fleeces. Lord, be patient with me, but if this is you, then make this happen, and then make that happen, and then make this happen. And God did all that, and then he finally had to give him a dream. He had to give somebody in the enemy's camp a dream. Now Gideon, carry your heart yourself down there and listen to them talk about this dream. And finally, but then with that, God reduced the 32,000. He said, I'm going to really put my fingerprint on this so that you won't get any glory out of this. You're going to glorify me. I'm going to reduce it from 32,000. Gideon, you got too many. Come on, we're going to close out on Gideon here. Gideon, you got too many. He said, take them down to the water. And those that lap like a dog, and those that don't, tell them they can go home. There were 22,000. It went down to 10. Then he took those down. And then when he went down there, 300 remained. That lapped like a dog. What are we talking about, lapped like a dog? In other words, they knelt while they were drinking, but they were watching. In other words, he was saying, those watch how they handle the water. Watch how they handle the word. See, the water is the word. See how they handle the word. There's only a select few that I want to go to this battle, because there's only a select few that's going to handle this word properly. 300 handled the word. He said, Gideon, I'm going to defeat the Midianites with these 300. Because it don't take me many. And what he did, the Midianites saw that when they cried, they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Gideon's view, his purpose, what did I say, his view, his opinion, and his plan had come in harmony with God's view and purpose and plan. They said, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. There was no distinction. Amen. And God defeated them. That's what God wants with us. All we need is to position, prostrate ourselves to allow his grace to flow out of our spirit. Our heart. We're going to deal with this heart. You really hear these next messages about your heart, about our heart, because the heart is the key. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Our spirit saved, but everything in our spirit has to pass through our heart. And we cannot afford an evil heart of unbelief. We have to, in our heart, we must, see, let me give you one last verse, okay? Is that all right? One last verse, and we're closing for real. But one last verse. Get me Romans, I think it's chapter 10. I don't have it written down, but Romans. Yeah, Romans chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus. Now look at this. Now I want you to distinguish this. Your spirit, and I do this, your belly, your spirit is saved. Your soul is being saved, and your body at that day is going to be changed to put on immortality. But now your spirit, what comes out of your spirit, has to pass through your heart.
We are continuing in part 14 of Mega Grace, The Heart of Grace, part 3. Abraham's belief was imputed to him for righteousness long before he did anything that was pleasing to God. We walk by faith. God called those things that are not as though they were. Galatians 5:25 states, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Once we accept Christ Jesus, he enters our heart and our spirit. Our perspective and opinion must be in harmony with God. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, says Romans 10, verse 9.
This is Trevor Banks again, and I'd like to invite you to visit us this weekend at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Our service times are 11 a.m. Sunday morning. Come and join us for great music, anointed preaching, and warm fellowship. We're located just off US 1 at 405 Exoria Avenue in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at TR Bank.